welcome back to the program. And one of the things we like to do here is chronicle the emerging and almost exploding eco-evolution. And having been covering the environmental beat for about 10 years now, I've come to know a lot of people in the forefront of the movement. And it's always a pleasure when one of those individuals or their organizations gets a lot of attention. And in this case, a lot of economic attention, and what a difference that's going to make. So we wanted to take a few minutes and chat with our friend Matthijs Valkernagel. He's been on EcoTalk before. He's with the Always Innovative Global Footprint Network. He's going to tell us about the $1 million award they received recently from the Skoll Foundation, how they're planning to use that money to help the world's governments measure, internalize, and even capitalize on their footprints. Welcome to the program, Matthijs.
Thank you so much for having me.
What a nice early Earth Day present you got.
It's a fantastic present, yeah.
Were you surprised?
We, of course, worked on it for some time, but yes, we were surprised that we got it. We are, I think, the youngest organization that ever got the award. We're just now 4 years old, and seeing the confidence in our operations from large investors like the Skoll Foundation is very exciting.
So this is not one of those ones you didn't know about, and they call you up one day and tell you you've got it, you worked on it.
You apply, and then they select you, and then you have to go through interviews, and in the end, they check whether they have confidence in our operation.
And as well they should. Tell us how you're going to use those funds.
The whole planning for getting the money actually helped us to also think very carefully about how we could most effectively use the money to move forward. And essentially, it's strengthening our capacity to deliver what we want to do in the world. Essentially, the idea is to end overshoot, and we do it by bringing ecological limits to the center of decision-making. We believe sustainability will not be possible without bringing the issue of ecological limits to every decision we make. And our medium-term goal is to have 10 countries to adopt a footprint like GDP.
I have a feeling I know what overshoot means, but describe it exactly. How do you mean it?
Essentially, the idea is that we can use resources more rapidly than they renew. From money, we know it. You know, we can spend money more rapidly than we earn it. And the same thing is true for resources, that we can fish more rapidly than it replenishes, or we can pump water out of the ground more rapidly than it recharges, or we can cut trees more rapidly than they regrow, etc. And that's what we're doing globally, we believe, by adding up all the demands on our ecosystems and compare them with the regenerative rate, that now we use the world about 25% more rapidly than can renew.
And of course, some of us are bigger overshooters than others as far as nations.
There's quite a variety of demands on nations.
And we're experts. We're world experts in overshoot. So what can you teach these? Well, actually, we should start at home. You're starting in the United States with the ecological footprint concept?
I would say, actually, we see it more as a systemic problem as well. I mean, as long as we don't recognize that ecological deficit spending is at least as dangerous as economic overspending, then probably we won't act adequately. So we hope that ministers will have as sleepless nights over ecological deficits as over financial, let's say, imbalance of trade. If you look, for example, at the current spending, like financial spending can lead to bankruptcy. Ecological bankruptcy is probably even more dangerous, because cannot just recover from it by declaring bankruptcy. But essentially, once we run out of resources, it's very hard to get an economy going again.
And now, many of our listeners are probably familiar with the term ecological footprint, but perhaps there's some out there who would like you to explain exactly what you mean, and where are we in terms of being sustainable? I know that I've heard many times, if the rest of the world lived like we Americans do, we'd need 4 or 5 planets. Are we up to 6 or 7 by now?
Yeah, it's growing up, growing upwards every day a little bit. Yeah, that's absolutely the case. The ecological footprint essentially is an accounting tool very similar to financial accounting tools. Just with the ecological footprint, we do it in biophysical units. So we add up all the potatoes that we use, all the fuels that we use, the timber that we use, the cereals that we use, etc., and find out how much area is necessary to provide these resources. That's what we call the ecological footprint. Or in simple terms, my ecological footprint is my personal farm, so to say, that is spread all over the world to support me for my resource consumption.
I guess I'm wondering, will any of these funds be used to educate more Americans about the concept, in addition to working with other countries?
Absolutely, but probably more indirectly than directly from us. We work with 75 partner organizations around the world. Some of them are rather large, like WWF, with about 5 million supporters around the world, and many of them within the United States. or organizations like, let's say, Earth Day, or that have a much stronger educational bent. So we provide content for these organizations so they can more effectively run the campaigns.
You have some pretty impressive individuals on your advisory council. I'm happy to say most of them, maybe all of them that I'm looking at now, have been on the program, like David Suzuki, E.O. Wilson, Lester Brown, Wangari Maathai. We almost had on the program, but we had a scheduling mix-up. Do you think this helps really raise the profile of your organization to get the attention of a Skoll Foundation?
That's certainly part of the ingredients of success. I mean, it's not only these people, but they help us open doors. They give us advice on how to move forward, particularly as we work more with national governments. It's helpful to have respected scientists on our side to help make the case.
And, you know, I guess it's all about education. Is that essentially what it comes down to?
I mean, it's probably somehow, I would say, even beyond education. It's not just about knowledge, but making knowledge resonant with people or relevant to people, so people can really feel that it's in our best interest to manage our ecological assets at least as carefully as our financial assets.
So which 10 nations will you be focusing on? I understand that this money is to be used for 10 and 10, institutionalizing the ecological footprint in at least 10 key nations by 2015.
Yeah. We have hot leads in about 30 countries. By the end of this year, we'll be having worked with five directly. That means we work with them to look at the numbers that we generate to see whether they are consistent with their statistical numbers, and so setting a baseline for them so they can use the footprint themselves. So the first nation that did that was Switzerland. Now we're working with Japan. The next one will be United Arab Emirates and Belgium and Mozambique.
You've always had a world view, I'm sure, but it must have been pretty exciting to be accepting the award last month at Oxford University. You really, I'm sure, got that global sense of the importance of your work.
It was fascinating also to meet all the other awardees and learn from them how they are learning from their successes and their challenges and how to really make a difference in the world.
Are you guys hiring? If there's anyone in our audience who would like to apply for a job now that you have a little more funding?
You should check out our website. Our job listings are getting longer these days. We are still expanding at about 50% a year. To a large extent, we want to become more active outside of the United States. So we're building an office now in Switzerland that's active, one in Belgium, and then we're looking at other nations as well.
Okay, so your staff is growing as we speak, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
It must be very exciting to be able to really put your dreams to work, having the fun. I mean, isn't that, wouldn't every organization, especially environmental organizations, just love to have a little more capital to really, you know, put make their initiatives that are hopefully already having an impact that much more robust?
Absolutely. There's so many opportunities out there, and it's always sad if we cannot take advantage of them. And now, with the resources, we'll be able to serve our partners much better.
Especially given the urgency, which, of course, you're well aware of. Trying to raise the awareness level and urgency, you know, level. Again, you got plenty of work to do just right here in America. Do you think the average American's familiar with this concept in our last couple of minutes of ecological footprint and how we're really out of whack with the rest of the world? When I do public speaking and give that statistic that we're 5% of the world's population using 25% of the resources and creating that much commensurate waste, I still think people look surprised to hear that, or maybe you need to hear it a few times to really absorb it fully.
I mean, what we see is with the term ecological footprint or carbon footprint now, with climate change, I think the interest has grown very, very rapidly. We look a little bit at the press and see to what extent the terms of ecological footprint or carbon footprint are being taken up, and it's growing exponentially. There are about 1 million websites now in English that talk about the ecological footprint. Many of them are from the United States, so it definitely is on the upswing.
That's great. And are you encouraged by all the investment in clean tech right now?
I mean, there are many amazing movements. And to some extent, I must say I was surprised myself to what extent the United States, the interest for climate change has been growing so rapidly. And clean tech is now one of the largest investment categories. All great signs. Not enough, of course, yet, but we're definitely on a good trend here and need all the help we can get. So
probably worth noting that Jeff Skoll, you know, of course, made his fortune at eBay in Silicon Valley during the dot-com boom, and now we're seeing clean tech just having some of the same characteristics.
Absolutely.
That's a good thing, though, green technology, although technology alone, of course, will not be the only solution.
It's an important ingredient.
It's one of the ingredients, is that what you said?
It's one of the important ingredients. If you just focus on efficiency, I mean, you also have to think, make sure that all the gains from efficiency are not just used to produce more consumption.
We all need to do more with less. I think that's a takeaway message. And be smarter and wiser about our resources. Thank you so much, Matisse.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Again, congratulations. $1 million award. That can take an organization from here to there pretty well. We'll be watching your progress. We'll be back right after these messages.